We are in Acts chapter 10, and we leave Paul. Paul has just been converted in Acts chapter 9, and he stayed in Damascus for a period of time and then left and went to Arabia and was there for approximately 3 years before coming back, and you pick back up on that those events in Acts chapter 13. So Luke here takes a break from Paul and then starts talking about some things that occurred with Peter. And this is the chapter where Cornelius is converted, and he is the first recorded Gentile convert that we have in the Bible. And it takes up right there in verse 1. Of chapter 10, describing Cornelius. He says, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. And so we learn from that Cornelius was a responsible person. He had responsibilities. It says in verse 2 that he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. And so we see that from these two verses, then also that Cornelius is a religious person. He's someone that believes in God and conducts himself in such a way to try and be pleasing to him. And in verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, the ninth hour of the day. Anybody know what time of the day that would have been? 3 o'clock, 3 in the afternoon. About the ninth hour of the day, the Jewish clock started at 6 a.m. And so the ninth hour would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision, an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now, dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. So he responded like anybody, I think, would have responded. He was alarmed. He wasn't expecting this. And he asked, what is it? And he said, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. So God had heard Cornelius' prayers. Cornelius had demonstrated before God that he was trying to do things the right way. And what this tells us is that while Cornelius was not in a covenant relationship with God, and everybody, you know why Cornelius wasn't in a covenant relationship with God? Anybody? He wasn't a Christian. That's exactly right. He hadn't been baptized. It doesn't matter what you believe. This is what this teaches. We're going to see, because the story could end here, but it doesn't, because Cornelius is baptized here just a few verses down. But his prayers had been heard. So what that says to me is that if someone is looking for God, they're going to find him. And that's what Cornelius has done. Cornelius has been looking for God, and he found him. And so then he's given instructions. And does anybody know what they're going to talk about? He says in verse 6, he is staying, talking about Peter, he's staying at the house of Simon the Tanner, who is in the house by the sea. He's supposed to send He's supposed to send men to Joppa to find Peter. Anybody know why? If you turn over to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, you find out exactly why. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your household. So he's going to come see you, Cornelius, and he's going to tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. You don't find that in Acts chapter 10, but you hear the account recanted, and that is in there. And this was the whole purpose of Peter coming to see Cornelius. Can you imagine Cornelius? You think about Cornelius. He's going to tell you what you need to do to be saved. And Cornelius' reaction is, could have been, I'm not saying it was, but it could have been, I thought it was. You know, there are people that think they're in a covenant relationship with God, and if you told them they weren't, they would say, oh, yes, I am. But that's not what Cornelius did. Cornelius, it says in verse 7, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So there's no time. Cornelius is not wasting any time to get his men to Joppa to fetch Peter to bring him back so that he can find out what it is that he needs to do in order to be saved. Anybody have any comments about that? Yes, Reuben.
It's outstanding that a man of his rank, of his influence, would be so submissive and so ready to submit to what the angel. He recognized the angel as an angel of God, and he quickly submitted. He didn't.
You know, and he's one, and then there's another one, you know, another centurion who submitted himself to Jesus, right? In the gospel accounts, and that speaks well of their character. Yes, Brother Stover?
Can you imagine the excitement when the angel spoke to him and told him that words were whereby you might be saved, you may be saved?
Mm-hmm. And I would say, I believe we do. I think our trouble is maintaining that level of excitement. And as I was talking to a friend just the other day, whose mother just recently passed away, a good friend of mine, and he called me, and he says to me, he says, Stephen, I need you to pray for me. And I told him, I said, I will. I said, but what you need to do is you need to put your head in the Bible. He's a good Bible student. But we just need to be reminded. And all I did was remind him. You put your head in the Bible, and the Bible is going to give you the answers to whatever it is you're looking for. And you don't have to go to a certain part of the Bible. You go to any part of the Bible. You just open the book up and start reading. And it's amazing what it'll do to you if you just give it a chance. Make time in your schedule, your busy schedule, to break off and just read the Bible for what it says. And I get the idea that's the kind of person Cornelius was. On the next day, verse 9, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. You know, when I read that, I remembered some things that Brother Green said with regard to the rooftops of these structures, and some of them they were built to hold a person to be able to walk on it, and that's where Peter is, and Peter's going up there to pray about the sixth hour of the day, around noontime. He's gone up there to pray. And so you see, of course, we're in 2026, and we can see God working in this account. Sends an angel to see Cornelius, to send for Peter, who's in Joppa at one Simon the Tanner's house, and now Peter is on a rooftop praying. And he became hungry. It's noontime. It's time for lunch. He became hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." And again the voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. And it says, "Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate." Coincidence? No, this is God's providence. That's what this is. This is God working through men. But you understand, you see Peter, he's praying, and this sheet drops, and there's all kinds of animals, and he's told to kill and eat. We talked in the past about, earlier in Acts, about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and how they understood the law and how they followed the law and focus was on the law. And they had been focused for 1,500 years on the law, generation after generation after generation. And here's Peter. He's told to kill and eat. That's not what Peter was taught, you see. Peter was taught that there was clean and unclean. There's things I can eat, there's things that I can't eat. And now this voice from heaven is saying, kill and eat, which is why he says, "Not so, Lord," because his generations for 1,500 years had been practicing this particular law. And so now it says that Peter, in verse 17, was perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be. So he didn't understand it. Not yet. But it got his attention. You know, just like some things might get our attention if we're in a conversation with somebody and they're talking about biblical things and they say something and it's pulled like right out of left field. That might get our attention. This got Peter's attention. And so now Cornelius' servants are at the gate. Anybody have any comments with regard to what we have just read? I'm sorry?
He's about to find out.
He is. He's about to find out. He's getting ready to connect some dots, I think, Ray. And calling out the men from Cornelius, were calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who is also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgiving, for I have sent them myself." So Peter's given his instructions. And Peter would have to be given direct instructions because Peter wouldn't associate with Gentiles. He wouldn't eat with them, and he wouldn't stay with them, which Peter's going to do all of those things here in just a little bit, you see. And so he's given direct instructions to go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings. So don't worry about all these things that you have in the back of your head, Peter. You go. because I've sent them here for you. And Peter went down, and Peter didn't question. We don't have any record of Peter questioning this. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one whom you are looking for. And what is the reason which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. So Peter invited them into Simon's house there in Joppa and gave them lodging, something that he wouldn't have done ordinarily. And so with that thought, I would I turn over here to Zechariah chapter 2 and see what Zechariah is a minor prophet. This is what he says in chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. That kind of rings along with what we're reading here, I believe, in Acts chapter 10. And so he gives them lodging there in verse 23. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter took some of his people, we would say, people that he knew. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And so this speaks to what Brother Stover said. Cornelius's excitement over the fact that Peter was coming. He's had a day to prepare, a little over a day to prepare for Peter to show up. And he's waiting for them. I can remember as a kid sitting in the front window waiting for a grandpa and grandpa to show up. And I can remember driving, and we would look out over the horizon to see who the first one was going to be to see grandpa's barn on the horizon, because we were so excited about going to see them. And this is, I associate this with Cornelius. And he's called together his relatives and his close friends. He wants them to hear the message that Peter is going to share. He knows why Peter's coming. Peter's going to tell him what he needs to do in order to be saved. And Cornelius wants his family and his close friends to be saved right along with him. We would do good to be like Cornelius. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, for I too am just a man. And so Cornelius did what he felt he should do, and that is to bow down and worship the man that's going to tell him what he needs to do in order to be saved. And Peter wasn't having it. He told Cornelius, I'm just a man just like you are. Sometimes we get too close to people. We can. We can follow the man and not the plan. As he talked in verse 27 with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man holy or unclean. He's connected that dot. Because when the sheet got dropped down, and the Lord said, kill and eat, Peter said, not so. And the Lord said, don't call anything that I've made unclean. He's connected that dot right here. Because he knows that he's going to visit the Gentiles, and he's been told not to consider them unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked, for what reason have you sent for me? And so Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said to me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Cornelius had an understanding. He believed what he saw. He believed what he heard. And so he followed through. He followed through, and he didn't waste any time following through. And he recognized what Peter recognized, that for Peter to come and stay with Gentiles was something that he wouldn't do ordinarily. He says, you have been kind enough to come. He recognized that in Peter. Now we're all here and present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Cornelius also understood where Peter's authority came. Wow, I just got up here. Where Peter got his authority. It was from the Lord. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Jesus had said in his gospel account that this was going to happen. This day was coming. And this day has arrived. And Peter understands this. Every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And the word which he sent by the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting in Galilee after the baptism of John was proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us. So Peter is validating who he is, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead. Of him, all the prophets here witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Where have we seen that happen before? The day of Pentecost, that's right, Acts 2. It's the only other time that we've read so far that something like that has happened. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And so context tells us what that gift was here in verse 45. Different than that gift in Acts 2 and 38. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" So Peter recognized that they weren't saved. Peter recognized that they weren't Christians. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked them to stay on for a few days. So that is the account of Cornelius in chapter 10. And we understand, and what we gather from this text, is that Cornelius wasn't saved until he was baptized. Not before, not when he received the gift of the Holy Spirit there in verse 44, but not until he was baptized was he saved. Was he in a saved or a covenant relationship with God? And now Peter goes back to Jerusalem to report to the Christians there in Jerusalem. And how do you think that was received? Had the same 1,500 years of baggage that everybody else had. And he had to go. Peter goes through. That's what chapter 11 is chapter 10 all over again. Peter's explaining all the events of chapter 10 to the Christians there in Jerusalem. Because they weren't all on board. It says the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And then Peter came to Jerusalem to those who were circumcised, took issue with him. And so that was a major hill that Peter and the apostles had to climb with the Christians there in Jerusalem, because for 1,500 years there had been separation between the Jew and the Gentile. And now that's gone in Acts 10. So Paul will be here Sunday, last word I had, and I will let him know that he could start in chapter 11 if he likes. Thank you very much for your comments. We'll now just get ready for our worship.